You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Thank you for joining in the singing. Brother Charles is going to come now and then bring a very special song that I love, and I know you will like it too. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Taylor. Well, as many of you know, I had to miss last week because we had my little daddy's funeral up in southeast Arkansas, and I got to sing this song for him. And so happens it was the same one I got to do for my mother's funeral a couple of years back. The last one I know that recorded it was Mr. Alan Jackson. If you listen to country music at all, and you've heard his gospel album, his song is "I Want to Stroll Over Heaven with You." And one reason it means so much to me is because my dad was over 94 years old when he got to go home, and I've yet to shed a tear about it because I can't. I'm so happy for him because I know where he was going, and I'm happy for me because this song says what's going to happen when I get there. I'm going to be able to stroll over heaven with my dad like I got to do for the last 50 years every time I went and saw him. We went walking and exercising together, and he stayed in shape as long as he could still move. And I'm so thankful for that legacy, as well as the legacy that every time I ever talk to my dad, he praised the Lord. He told me he loved me with all his heart. He told me he loved my wife with all his heart, and I know he meant it. So there's nothing to cry about here. There's just good things. If you know the Lord tonight, you feel the same way. And if you don't, I pray that you'll listen to this song and listen to Brother Leland tonight, because he's going to tell you exactly what you need to do to have the happiness that a person can have when they go to meet the Lord. Brother Ricky, let it go, brother. Survey all the goodness comes to me from above. If I count all the blessings from God's storehouse of love, I simply ask one favor, him beyond mortal kin. I know he'll grant it again and again. I want to stroll over heaven with you someday, when all our troubles and heartaches vanish away, and we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. Has kept us from making plans to go, but come the morning of the rapture, together we'll stand anew, and I'll stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you someday, when all our troubles and heartaches with you. known that.
Good song. Turning your Bibles tonight to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We're going to kind of introduce a message with this. If you'd like to turn there and don't have a Bible, if you hold your hand up, we'll get you one. Romans 15. We're going to kind of let this introduce what we're going to talk about, and then we're going to go back to the book of Daniel. Right here, we've got one here. Then we're going to go back to the book of Daniel. So if you want to be looking that up in the Old Testament, toward the end of the Old Testament, that's where we're going to talk about most of it. Paul wrote the book of Romans, one of the last writers in the Bible as far as time goes. And he said this. He said, "For whatsoever things," verse 4, "whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope." He gives us a reason for reading the Old Testament. Now, a lot of things in the Old Testament that we don't have a clue about. We don't know anything about brazen altars. We don't know anything about brazen lavers and table of showbread and altar of incense. These are things that are foreign to us, foreign to every church we got in the nation. They're totally foreign because it had to do with Israel's old form of worship that was right at that time. But Paul said, you can learn from those things. Not that you obey what they say, but that you can learn from them. He said, one, they're written aforetime. We can go back and look at those old things. Then he said, for our learning, we can learn from them. So we're going to look at what happened in the book of Daniel tonight and see what we can learn from it, if anything. Then he said it was for our patience. Most of us don't have any. It'd be good for us some to have a little bit. We want it done right now. Do you remember when microwave first came out? And you could heat a cup of coffee in a minute? Goodness. Now today, I cram that coffee in there and turn that microphone in and just sit there, and I am so impatient that it's going to take a full 60 seconds to get that done. People advertise their computers on the internet as working in mega split seconds, as if that's going to make a lot of difference. You know, I mean, it's quicker than we can do this. And they're measuring that as if that's important, because we're not made. He said, it'll give you some patience. You go back, listen. Then he said, it'll give you some comfort. And probably, if anything, that we don't have. I see very few people that seem to be very happy, comfortable where they are. Everybody's needing something else, wanting something else, wanting a little bit more. It's we just don't have any comfort among us. And then he said, for hope. Probably America's got more depressed people than any nation. We have more money and more depression. We got more people on antidepressants than any country in the world. Do you know that there's 90% of all the Ritalin sold in the world is sold in America? What we're trying, and we're starting out making our kids drug addicts. And he said, man, my kid's got ADD. No, your kid is just, have you ever seen a healthy, normal kid that wasn't hyper? That's just them. They start out, they're hyperactive. They got things to do. They want to do that. There's nothing wrong with them for being hyperactive. That's what they are. They're kids. They got energy. And they want to do those things. Now, and Paul said that you can learn from those things because some things have never changed. God has not changed. God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Man hadn't changed. He's as rotten as he was the first day he was here. No change. There's some things that have just never... Right has never changed, and wrong has never changed. We haven't gone into a bunch of gray areas, and marriage has not become to whoever you want to be married to. We've already had one guy to file for a marriage license with his dog. We'll have more. Let me tell you, they're out there, and they vote. That's what's amazing. You know, now then, now I want you to go back to the book of Daniel with me. Daniel chapter 5. Now then, let me give you a little background on this. The story we're going to read about involves the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the first world ruler. He ruled the world. First kingdom that just took over everything. And they took over Israel. And he went into Israel and took all of the young, gifted children to try to teach them his way and get the best that they had. He got the best. And he went into the temple. He destroyed their temple, took all the gold and silver, all of their utensils, gold and silver, that which was worth much, and took back to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar ruled Babylon. And Daniel was one of those kids that he took back. And Daniel elevated himself in the kingdom of Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar had some dreams that nobody could interpret for him except Daniel. And Daniel told him right off, he said, it's not me, it's God that interprets these dreams. But he told him what was going to take place. And sure enough, it came to pass just like it did. And time and again, Nebuchadnezzar would call on Daniel to interpret dreams. He elevated Daniel to one of the highest positions in the government of Babylon. Now, years have passed. Nebuchadnezzar is dead. His grandson, Belshazzar, is running the nation. He's controlling the world. Daniel is an old man. Now, this brings us to what's taking place on this particular day and night. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, this is Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and golden and silver vessels which his father needed. He calls him his father here, but they call fathers grandfathers too. In fact, in the Hebrew, they have no word for grandfather. You're just a father, but you may be the third father in a row. You may be grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather. But he commanded, which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. I'm kind of amazed here. Their culture is a little different from ours, because their concubines were basically their live-ins, and to have them both at the same party, your wife and your girlfriend, really not good. The first angel tree party we ever gave. And this was back Man, that's 20-something years ago. And this was before we had all the names on the computer and everybody was knew how to do things like that. And we give a little small church here in town. We gave a party, first party we'd ever done for Angel. First party ever done in Angel Tree, period, in the United States. And one guy, a federal inmate, had sent an invitation to his wife and his girlfriend, and they both showed up at the same party. We didn't catch it in cross referencing or anything like you would with a computer. We'd done all this by hand. We didn't grasp that, and here they are. And his wife took it out on me. In fact, I like to swore off Angel Tree that very night. You talk about getting a good old-fashioned cussing. Man alive, we made sure that we cross-checked, double-checked that would never happen again. About 3 years later, because the wife kept coming, and when the guy got out, he opted for his girlfriend instead of his wife, and he left her. And one day she showed up. Somebody knocked on our door one morning. I went to the door, and it was her. And she had money for three kids. That's what she and her husband had had. And she said, for 3 years, y'all took care of us and helped my kids. And she said, I'm remarried. I've got a good Christian husband, takes good care of us, and we want to help three kids. Whole turnaround in her life, I'm telling you. But here with this, and maybe this society, they don't care because they got the princes, the wives, the concubines, and they're all just getting drunk. And lots of times when you're drunk, you don't care anyway, do you? And they drank wine and praised their gods. Everybody's religious. I don't care who you are. You have somebody that you worship, and it may be you, but somebody's your God. They praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Anybody but the right one. Notice that. They got all kinds. Every kind. A variety of them. Pick your own God. But they got everyone but the right one. And they're drinking out of those vessels that came out of the temple. Verse 5, in the same hour, came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against the other. His knees are knocking because he's seen the handwriting on the wall. God comes in. Now, Belshazzar doesn't know what to do. He's in a dilemma, but he knows he's guilty. He knows that there's something wrong. The queen, then his grandma, comes in and reminds him of Daniel. This will take place in those next few verses. And Belshazzar knew about this time that she's going to tell him about. He knew about it. And she said, you need to find Daniel. That man's still here. And so this is what he does. Now then, go with me down to verse 22. We're just skipping some intervention here, but nothing important to what we're going to talk about. And here's what he tells him. He said, Verse 22, and thou his son, O Belshazzar, this is what Daniel's interpreted, the handwriting on the wall. He said, and thou his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. This is not something that's a surprise to you. This is not something you didn't know about. You have experienced God Almighty in these things. And you know about this. But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives, my concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is. You get this? You're breathing his air. Well, I don't believe in God. Well, he may not believe in you. Do you ever think about that? Atheist, well, I don't know. I'm atheist. I don't believe in God. I'm going to tell you why I don't believe in atheists. Because it won't, if they get in trouble, you know what the first thing they're going to say? Oh, God. Oh, God. He said, and who are all thy ways? Everything you've done, he controls. Thou hast not glorified. Then was part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing, meaning God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now notice verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Didn't go to the morning. He weighed in the balances, handwriting on the wall. Now what can we learn from that? I mean, that's history. What has it got to do with you and I in 2015? What's it got to do with us in Odessa, Texas, and going through our life, whatever stage it might be? Remember, Paul said all these things were written for our learning. Let me give you three things, and those of you that are smart can get a lot more things out of it. But just three things lying right on the surface. Number one, pride goes before a fall. The Bible said in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God hates pride, and he hates people that's got it. We think we can do it. We live in an era in America that man is more powerful than anybody. He can do anything. I can. You can. We have more self-improvement courses teaching things. We've got a bunch of people on TV telling you how God will make you rich and famous. Let me tell you something. Making money in the only works in the free enterprise system. If you lived in India, if you and I lived in India, whatever class of people, they call it the caste system in India. But whatever class of people we were born in is a class of people we're going to die in. If you born rich, you're going to stay rich. If you born poor, you're going to stay poor. That's not going to happen in America. There are people that can start at nothing and make it, and there's people that start with everything and go totally broke. If you're in the communist system, there is no middle class. The poor are going to stay poor. And if you're rich, you're going to get richer. You have to be in a free enterprise system. And the Bible, let me tell you what. Whatever the Bible promises, it promises in Lower Slobovia as well as it does in Midland. It's a world book. And so you can't take what will work over here and won't work someplace else and say it's scripture. Just can't do it. You can only do that in a free enterprise system. And so pride goes before a fall. We want them. We're the big shots. We're going to make it. We can do it. Don't tell me what to do. Let me tell you something. As long as you're on paper, Texas owns you. You know, think about that. Do you realize that you could live your life, the rest of your life, and never, never, never commit another crime and yet go to prison? That's how well they own you. I can have fifth whiskey in the front seat of my car, and if the seal's not broke on it, I'm legal. You can't. Anybody in paper on here can't do that. If the seal is broke on it, I'm locked in the glove compartment of the trunk, I'm legal. You're never legal with fifth whiskey. You can go to prison for it. From here to my house, I'm stopped at a lot of different places and go in and have a drink. You can't. You can go to prison for it. I'm legal. You'll never be able to walk out and reach under the front seat of your car and pull out a .38. A lot of people can. You don't even have to have one of them right to use license. I told my son, I said, he said, this was about 3 years ago, he said, Dad, what are you on Christmas? And I said, a pistol. He said, okay. Sure enough, he got me a pistol. And he said, Dad, now remember, he said, that's in my name. I said, I know it, and it'll stay in your name. I don't want any paper trail on me. I said, I don't want them to know who used it. But you can't do that. There are rights that people with. The only way you beat the system is get off paper. And to think we can do this and we can do that, and I've showed them. Yeah, right. Yeah. You're not going to do it. We're all under some control we don't want to be because of where we live. So pride goeth before the fall. That's what happened to Belshazzar. Number two, and I want you to remember this one. A party can end in death. They're having a tremendous big party at the White House. At the palace of Belshazzar. He's furnishing the booze. They're having a ball. And in the midst of this, let me tell you, this is where they made a mistake. I don't think God punished them for drinking. Let me tell you what he punished them for. When they went and got the vessels that came out of God's house and began to drink out of them, they mocked him. They're bragging. We've got God's vessel. Israel's supposed to have a great God. We conquered them. Look at what we got. And they begin to drink out of those vessels, and the handwriting came on the wall. Leave God's stuff alone. I really believe this. I believe there's some things that people can do and get by with that a Christian can't. He can't do it. I believe there's some things that God would just let you run your race out here. But there's others he won't because you involved him in it. A party, this party, ended in death. It took the number one man out before daylight, just like that. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We're all going to meet that. And we're also going to meet that judgment. Nobody gets by with it. And then the third thing, every man will be weighed in God's balance. Not his, not yours, not mine. I may be a pretty good old boy at my standards. We're going to stand up before God's standards. What did God ask us to do? Revelation chapter 20. And verse 12, you may want to highlight this. John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. There'll be a judgment time. Pride goes before destruction. A party can end in death. And every man to be weighed in his own balance. Would you bow your heads with me for a minute? Just for a second, would every head be bowed and every eye closed? Nobody looking around? What if that had been you? These things were written for our learning. Did you learn anything? What if that was you? What will it be when you stand before the Lord? And you will. Nobody is exempt. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And will God say you weighed in the balances and found wanting? Or have you made sure that Jesus Christ has paid your debt for that hour, for that time? You're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. If this happened to you, you'd be as bad off as Belshazzar. What if by some accident, we call it, you didn't make it to morning? Here was a man in good health, as far as we know, in the prime of his life, king, on top of the world. Had his own drug cartel, maybe. Had money in his pocket. Low rider. Everything he wanted. And then he's weighed in the balances and found wanting. You say, Leland, I've never trusted Christ. I'd be as bad off as Belshazzar was. If I were to die tonight, I'm lost. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand? If you're sincere about it, I want to be saved. I see your hand. I see yours. You slip them up and flip them back down once you put them up. Yes, I see yours to the right. To the right. Yeah. Now then, listen to me carefully. If you didn't hear anything else, listen to this. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus died for your sin. Bible said it, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you to get you to heaven. And he said, if you'd confess it, you say, Lord, I trust you for that. Lord, I believe you died for me. I place my body, my soul, my mind into your hands. I just turn it over to you. I'm depending on. He said, thou shalt be saved. In fact, he summed it up two verses later. He said, for whosoever, that's anybody in here, shall call upon the name of the Lord. Anybody can do that. Shall be saved. Anywhere, anytime, any place. God's promise. God's never changed. We're going to stand our feet. I'm going to pray. Stand with your head bowed. Our Father, you've seen the show of hands. You know the whole turnaround in her life. I've had, but here with this, and maybe this society, they don't care because they got the princes, the wives, the concubines, and they're all just getting drunk. And lots of times when you're drunk, you don't care anyway, do you? And they drank wine and praised their gods. Everybody's religious. I don't care who you are. You have somebody that you worship, and it may be you, but somebody's your God. They praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Anybody but the right one. Notice that. They got all kinds. Every kind. A variety of them. Pick your own God. But they got everyone but the right one. And they're drinking out of those vessels that came out of the temple. Verse 5, in the same hour, came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against the other. His knees are knocking because he's seen the handwriting on the wall. God comes in. Now, Belshazzar doesn't know what to do. He's in a dilemma, but he knows he's guilty. He knows that there's something wrong. The queen, then his grandma, comes in and reminds him of Daniel. This will take place in those next few verses. And Nebuchadnezzar knew, Belshazzar knew about this time that she's going to tell him about. He knew about it. And she said, you need to find Daniel. That man's still here. And so this is what he does. Now then, go with me down to verse 22. We're just skipping some intervention here, but nothing important to what we're going to talk about. And here's what he tells him. He said, verse 22, and thou his son, O Belshazzar, this is what Daniel's interpreted, the handwriting on the wall. He said, and thou his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. This is not something that's a surprise to you. This is not something you didn't know about. You have experienced God Almighty in these things. And you know about this. But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives, my concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is. You get this? You're breathing his air. Well, I don't believe in God. Well, he may not believe in you. Do you ever think about that? Atheist, well, I don't know. I'm atheist. I don't believe in God. I'm going to tell you why I don't believe in atheist. Because it won't. If they get in trouble, you know what the first thing they're going to say? Oh, God. Oh, God. He said, and who are all thy ways? Everything you've done, he controls. Thou hast not glorified. Then was part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now notice verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Then go to the morning. He weighed in the balances, handwriting on the wall. Now what can we learn from that? I mean, that's history. What has it got to do with you and I in 2015? What's it got to do with us in Odessa, Texas? And going through our life, whatever stage it might be. Remember, Paul said all these things were written for our learning. Let me give you three things. And those of you that are smart can get a lot more things out of it. Just three things lying right on the surface. Number one, pride goes before a fall. The Bible said in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God hates pride, and He hates people that's got it. We think we can do it. We live in an era in America that man is more powerful than anybody. He can do anything. I can. You can. We have more self-improvement courses teaching things. We've got a bunch of people on TV telling you how God will make you rich and famous. Let me tell you something. Making money in the only works in the free enterprise system. If you lived in India, if you and I lived in India, whatever class of people, they call it the caste system in India. But whatever class of people we were born in is a class of people we're going to die in. If you're born rich, you're going to stay rich. If you're born poor, you're going to stay poor. That's not going to happen in America. There are people that can start at nothing and make it, and there's people that start with everything and go totally broke. If you're in the communist system, there is no middle class. The poor are going to stay poor, and the few rich are going to get richer. You have to be in a free enterprise system. And the Bible, let me tell you what, whatever the Bible promises, it promises in Lower Slobovia as well as it does in Midland. It's a world book. And so you can't take what will work over here and won't work someplace else and say it's scripture. Just can't do it. You can only do that in a free enterprise system. And so pride goes before a fall. We're the big shots. We're going to make it. We can do it. Don't tell me what to do. Let me tell you something. As long as you're on paper, Texas owns you. You know, think about that. Do you realize that you could live your life, the rest of your life, and never, never, never commit another crime and yet go to prison? That's how well they own you. I can have fifth whiskey in the front seat of my car, and if the seal's not broke on it, I'm legal. You can't. Anybody in paper on here can't do that. If the seal is broke on it, I'm locked in the glove compartment of the trunk, I'm legal. You're never legal with fifth whiskey. You can go to prison for it. From here to my house, I'm stopped at a lot of different places and go in and have a drink. You can't. You can go to prison for it. I'm legal. You'll never be able to walk out and reach under the front seat of your car and pull out a .38. A lot of people can. You don't even have to have one of them right-to-use license. I told my son, I said, He said, this was about 3 years ago. He said, Dad, what are you on Christmas? And I said, a pistol. He said, okay. Sure enough, he got me a pistol. And he said, Dad, now remember, he said, that's in my name. I said, I know it, and it'll stay in your name. I don't want any paper trail on me. I said, I don't want them to know who used it. But you can't do that. There are rights that people with... The only way you beat the system is get off paper. And to think... And to think that we can do this and we can do that and I've showed them... Yeah, right. Yeah. You're not going to do it. We're all under some control we don't want to be because of where we live. So pride goeth before the fall. That's what happened to Belshazzar. Number two, and I want you to remember this one. A party can end in death. They're having a tremendous big party at the White House. At the palace of Belshazzar. He's furnishing the booze. They are having a ball. And in the midst of this, let me tell you, this is where they made a mistake. I don't think God punished them for drinking. Let me tell you what He punished them for. When they went and got the vessels that came out of God's house and began to drink out of them, they mocked Him. They're bragging. We've got God's vessel. Israel's supposed to have a great God. We conquered them. Look at what we got. And they begin to drink out of those vessels, and the handwriting came on the wall. Leave God's stuff alone. I really believe this. I believe there's some things that people can do and get by with that a Christian can't. He can't do it. I believe there's some things that God will just let you run your race out here. But there's others He won't because you involved Him in it. A party, this party, ended in death. It took the number one man out before daylight, just like that. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We're all going to meet that, and we're also going to meet that judgment. Nobody gets by with it. And then the third thing, every man will be weighed in God's balance. Not his, not yours, not mine. I may be a pretty good old boy at my standards. We're going to stand up before God's standards. What did God ask us to do? Revelation chapter 20. In verse 12, you may want to highlight this. John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. There'll be a judgment time. Pride goes before destruction. A party can end in death. And every man to be weighed in his own balance. Would you bow your heads with me for a minute? Just for a second, with every head be bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. What if that had been you? These things were written for our learning. Did you learn anything? What if that was you? What will it be when you stand before the Lord? And you will. Nobody is exempt. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And will God say you weighed in the balances and found wanting? Or have you made sure that Jesus Christ has paid your debt for that hour, for that time? You're here tonight, and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. If this happened to you, you'd be as bad off as Belshazzar. What if by some accident, we call it, you didn't make it to morning? Here was a man in good health, as far as we know, in the prime of his life, king, on top of the world. Had his own drug cartel, maybe. Had money in his pocket. Low rider. Everything he wanted. And then he's weighed in the balances and found wanting. You say, Leland, I've never trusted Christ. I'd be as bad off as Belshazzar was. If I were to die tonight, I'm lost. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand? If you're sincere about it, I want to be saved. I see your hand. I see yours. You slip them up and slip them back down once you put them up. Yes, I see yours to the right. To the right. Yeah. Now then, listen to me carefully. If you didn't hear anything else, listen to this. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.